Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bench. Eat a broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad others. Bad taste, bad lie, bad do, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial. Right across the river and through the woods from where Granny was over today, rolling up some fatty gaddies in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, are ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do bit. All my friends are coming around flat to fight to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs up down with a mess, it's not a tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. What's gigging is Pharrell with Mafia tonight on a pain-free Friday. Pharrell's doing out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200. All right, so I'm watching the Celtics and Raptors game 7 in Orlando, Eastern Conference semis. Loser packing up. Winner to face the Heat in the Eastern Conference finals. So far, it's Toronto up 4, 6.5 left in the half, 37-33. And early on, it was Boston that had the lead, but a gigantic run by the Raptors, not only got them back in the game, gave them the lead. They've been hitting all kinds of shots per usual. And that's bottom line. The Celtics can't hit the broad side of a barn. Toronto's hitting the shots. It's starting to look like, again, to me, that they're going to, you know, right at this point, I'm not seeing any signs that Boston looks like they want to win this game. I mean, they just look like they're going through the motions. Like, it's no problem. We'll deal with this later. We'll come back. Don't worry about it. We got this all figured out. That's the way they look to me. And then the Islanders are up 3-1 after two periods in the Eastern Conference Final against the Lightning. Pelech scored a goal. Bevilier scored a goal that made it 2-1 and 3-1. So right now, the Islanders trying to get back in that series. They need a big win tonight, and they're up 3-1. Burrell on the bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all events, so Tampa, just as I was saying, they're down two goals. They score to make it 3-2, Islanders. So they're in the third, and there's 15 minutes left in the game. And you get on the board to make it 3-2. It's Palat on the power play, 3-2. 2.5 minutes into the third, he scored from Sergachev and Kucherov. So the goal scorers for Islanders, Clutterbuck at 12:58 of the first. Then Sergachev tied it at 16:31. Pelech, a beautiful goal from Barzal and Pageau at 11:50 of the second. That made it 2-1 Islanders. Beautiful goal from like the left side of the slot. He got a loose puck and just banged it in. And then he was like 15, 20 feet out. And then Bevilier, literally like 2 minutes later, literally 2 minutes on the number, made it 3-1 from Nelson and Taves. And then Palat early, 2.5 into the third, makes it 3-2. So under 15 left, 3-2 Islanders. Honestly, they cannot blow this game. They've got to win this game. They have to shut them down and close this out. And frankly, they have to score another goal. They cannot hold on to this one goal lead, obviously. They blew it the other night. They were up a goal, up another goal, blew both those leads, whatever, and they lose in, whatever. They lost with 8 seconds left in the game. I guess it was 1-1. They were up 1-0 and then 1-1, and then they lose on the goal from Kucherov at the end of the game. So, I mean, they can't blow this tonight. That's all I know. Otherwise, they're going to regret it. It'll be over. Their season will end tonight if they blow this game. Now the Islanders are on the power play. Meanwhile, they're letting Tampa go to the other end and try to get a shorty. That didn't happen. So Islanders have to set up shop. Got a minute left on the man advantage, and they have to do something. I mean, like, get a goal. Finish this game off. It's unbelievable how they mess around. By the way, while it's on my mind, I will tell you that tomorrow, and tonight they already canceled it. Giants-Padres canceled. And then tomorrow, they're canceling that game, too. So Saturday, that's postponed as well. The Giants and Padres already postponed for Saturday. My guess is while they're at it, they'll postpone Sunday's game. They haven't yet, but I bet they will, because someone on the Giants tested positive for COVID today. So there you go. It's everywhere. That thing is just absolutely everywhere. It's like in the wind. It's honestly, it's like blowing through the air and just absolutely hitting everywhere, everyone. No one is unavoidable. Everybody seems to be brushed by it, hit by it. I talked to a lady today. I hadn't seen her in a long time. I used to hoop with her daughter. And this chick is a really good former college basketball player and also a pro player. She played pro in Europe. And she's a great little guard. Mavia knows who I'm talking about. Her mom told me that, two of their family members got it. Like, one of their daughters, a son or something, they got it. And they had it. And, you know, it was bad, whatever, for like 3 weeks. But the Hooper didn't get it. And she works with the NBA now, this chick. I used to play ball with her. She could really play. She'd light up guys, break ankles, you name it. She was on my Pharrell Ballers team. She was really good. We made it to the championship with her. We lost in the final. I don't even remember which one that was. I've lost 8 of them. I've won, whatever is it, you know, 1-8, lost 8. We were going for 9 when the COVID hit. But I remember we lost in a championship with her. That was when we had that big Evan, the kid that played football at Rutgers. And he was our power forward, like our center with, you know, me playing power forward. This guy was a bull. He was a bull in a china shop, man. Could he go to the rack and score? He's just a giant, you know, look, tight end looking football player ripped out of his skull with muscle. Just an entire, his body was just a giant muscle. And he scored like 35 a game. He only played one season with us, though. He couldn't handle the schedule of how and when we played and everything. But anyway, so I'm watching, I got a lot of action going tonight. I'm watching all these games, and I'm losing weight as usual, watching them. You know, I don't really worry about, frankly, the refs' calls in the first half. All I know is there was one that bothered me. It was when Smart got hit in the face, out on the three on the perimeter. Who was it that hit him? Siakam hit him in the face inadvertently, and Van Gundy was like, Stan Van Gundy's like, oh, that's inadvertent, that's not a flagrant, that, you know, he got smacked in the face, nose, the whole deal, got just completely brushed in the face and hammered with the back of Siakam's hand all over his face, nose, everything. You could see him just get completely whacked in the face. And he said, that's inadvertent, that wasn't a flagrant foul, that doesn't even, it's not even worth discussing. They won't even review it. Meanwhile, game six, do you remember? Tatum driving to the basket. He went through the trees. His arm flung out and hit someone in the face, Ananobi, and they called a flagrant and gave him the free throw, tech free throw. And it's so funny to me. How can it go that way? If a guy gets smacked in the face, it's no different than a high stick in hockey. If you get hit with a high stick in hockey, Mafia, no matter what, it's a penalty. No matter what. No matter what. It doesn't matter how it happens. If you get a stick in the face, it's a 2-minute. If you bleed, it's 4. And in basketball, if you smack someone in the face now, it's a flagrant. And right. That's it. It's just automatic. And then, but they do it in game 6 to the Celtics. But tonight, Smart got it right in the face and no call. No call at all. And Van Gundy's like, that's inadvertent. Well, then what the Pharrell was the Tatum driving the basket on game 6? That's what I'm talking about. These refs suck. I hate them dead. I can't take the they're so contradictory. They're so ridiculous. The calls they make me sick. And then I'm just waiting. Yeah, it's inconsistent. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for the second half so I can lose my temper because I don't even care about first half bad calls. I care about bad calls in the fourth quarter and in overtime, right? In the second half, let's face it, fourth quarter calls are what matter. What I'm talking about is let them play unless it's a blatant hammer on a, you know, a drive or a blatant foul on a jumper, which you know, like a clearly got contact, clearly hit the hand, clearly made them miss the shot, clearly redirected the shot. Or somebody got, you know, smashed in the face or in the head driving to the basket. That's what, you know, I'm all right with calls like that. But everything else, this interpretation and replays and reviews and it takes forever. And I can't take it. I legitimately cannot take it. And I mean, it is just unbelievable. And guess who's reffing this game, too? I don't even know who the other two clowns are, but Foster's in on it. And he's the worst I've ever seen. They treat him like he's the greatest ref on earth. They're always talking about he's the king veteran ref. I'm like, I don't care how long you've been reffing. If you suck, you suck. I don't care if you've been doing it 40 years. If you're not good and consistent and let star players play in games, let the players decide the game 7. You've already ruined game 6. I'm not listening to any other opinion of it either. Don't even waste your time trying to argue with me. Don't even waste it. I will never change my opinion. Everyone, I don't care if you're from here, Canada. I don't care if you live in hell or heaven. Bottom line is they got every single call in game 6 in the fourth quarter on. That's a fact. Everyone knows it. It is what it is. Anyone that doesn't think they got every call is a liar and a punk ass. That's it. I don't want to listen to it. Because that's exactly what happened. And everyone that I play ball with, they all said the same thing. And they, none of them have rooting interest in either team. They're just like, they got shafted. I mean, it is just unbelievable. So I just want to see him put the whistles away, let him play. Let's let the players decide this game. Let it come down to a great play, a great shot, a last second shot, whatever it is, overtime, whatever it is. Give me a good finish by players, not whistles, not by refs. I'm sick and tired of the refs. They can rot in hell.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So Tampa just tied it up, but I think Johnson, I think he did it with a high stick. They're reviewing it right now, but they'll give him the goal, but that was a high stick. Take a look. I mean, watch it for yourself. Tell me that stick is not over his head. Look at where the stick is. It's above his face. They gave him the goal. Oh, my God. I don't know which sport I can't take anymore. I've always said, have I not said, it's so bad with the refs in the NBA and then the NHL, and we haven't even started with the geriatric society NFL with their bad calls. I mean, it is unbelievable. That to me was a high stick goal. He knocked it out of the air from over his teeth. I mean, honestly, but they never do anything. You could run over to goalie, cut his leg off, and there's no goalie interference. You could saw his leg off, and you wouldn't give it up. All right, Kurt Elan's with us from NBC to talk about the NBA. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Scott?
I'm hanging in, buddy. So I've been ranting and raving for 2 days because I had a real problem with Game 6 with the Celtics. I thought, it's real simple. They didn't get a call from the fourth quarter on. And I still don't agree with the Van Vliet 6-point play. I don't agree with the Tatum flagrant driving to the basket. Like tonight, Smart got smashed in the face. No call, no flagrant. That's okay, though. And then Van Gundy had the audacity to say, it's not even reviewable. It's also, it's not a flagrant. No way's out of play. What is the difference between getting smashed in the face tonight, as opposed to getting a flopping arm in the nose in Game 6. What about the Walker drive? No foul. How about the jump ball? They called a timeout. I mean, what bad call didn't they get in Game 6, honestly?
Yeah, and funny, the league office came out and said the Raptors actually benefited from the calls. It's hard. The consistency is, especially when you get to this time of year, you've got the best teams left. They're playing close games pretty much. And the consistency of calls is frustrating because it's not there. Cause you're just not getting it.
Are they going to ruin this game in the second half? Because I don't care about calls in the first half. I care about calls in the second half, and mostly from the fourth quarter on. The last 12 minutes, I need them to put their whistles away in a Game 7 because I need superstar players to make plays to win a game. If it turns into a ref game where the refs are the story like they were in Game 6, and it's the same thing tonight in Game 7, I'm like done with the NBA. I'm done with it because it's so unbelievable that a ref becomes the story and not $100 million players.
Well, Scott Foster would never do that, man. So you're totally safe.
Yeah, he does it every night. He's the worst ref I've ever seen in my life. He's the worst. Honestly, if he went on a cruise and never came back, I'd start drinking again.
No, he's well, hopefully I'm with you. Look, it's the playoffs, and I think that's been one of the frustrating things. And I don't know if this is a bubble effect or not having the crowd in your ears the whole game. They've seemed to call things tighter and kind of injected themselves more in games this season than even in most years. And I don't know, maybe it's because they're hearing all the chirping going on during the game. Maybe it's, you know, that it would get drowned out by a crowd. Maybe, I don't know, you know, but it does seem like they're in it more. And that's just never a good thing. I'm with you. Like, I mean, within reason, you gotta put the whistle away at the end and let these guys play.
So both of these teams are shooting terrible from outside. But the thing I'm not catching on to is Lowry's got like 3 points or something in the game. He's 1 of 6 in the game, and he's got a three. But what has happened to him? Is he just going to show up in the second half? Because he looks like he's shot from that game the other night.
I think they're all a little shot from the game the other night. And there's also just this, man, game 7, everybody gets T-Rex arms, man. Like, everybody's just pulling their shots a little and aiming them. And, you know, you feel the pressure. And, it happens to everyone. I remember, I think the first game 7 I was covering for NBC in person was game 7 of the 2010 finals, Boston and the Lakers at Staples Center, and Kobe was pulling up, you know, all these stars in this game were just bad. And the two best players on the floor might've been Meta World Peace and Rasheed Wallace, you know, two people who aren't bothered by the human pressures that get to the rest of us, Scott. So
right.
Like, it's just kind of that way, you know, random people step up in game 7. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
So what did you think of Denver tonight? I had Denver with the 8.5 points, and I can't even believe, nice. I can't believe they came back and won the game, to be honest with you, because in the first half, they were so bad. They were so non-existent in that game. And then all of a sudden they had that huge run and got back in it. And then I thought Porter's three on the wing, the guy had done absolutely nothing the entire game, but they hit that shot with a hand in his face with, you know, a minute left from deep on the wing. That was a huge bucket. And then he got fouled twice and made all four free throws.
Yeah, he stepped up in some big minutes. He had a good defensive play at the end too. I got to say this much for Denver, because I still don't think they win the series. Most teams would have rolled over. The Clippers came out to play. They were running in the first half. They were smothering them defensively. Jamal Murray found a rhythm in the fourth quarter, you know, 3 of 3 from three in the fourth quarter. It's been hard. It's understandably hard for him in this series, because it's Patrick Beverley, then Paul George, then Kawhi Leonard. Like, man, that's a gauntlet. Like, they haven't been able to get a rhythm. They did a little bit out of desperation. I also think, let's put it this way, next game, don't expect to see Kawhi Leonard resting so far into the fourth quarter and so much Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. It let Denver get a little bit of a footing, and that's a good team that can put up points, man. It's not like Denver got here on accident. You know, they were the 3 seed for a reason. They've been good for a couple of years. They got their offense rolling, and the Clippers couldn't slow it down at the end. They'd done such a good job of the Clippers have done a good job of keeping Denver's spirit down and just not letting them get a flow. And then when Denver got it going, to their credit, man, they never quit. They never gave up. I think it's what makes Toronto so tough to beat in these kind of situations like the last game. I mean, certain teams just have some fight. And I think if you're a Nuggets fan with this young team and all the questions around it, and whether Jamal Murray's a real number two and all of it, seeing them fight like that is a good sign, man. Seeing them not give up is a good sign long term.
How about this guy, Leonard? They don't guard him. He hit 5 threes, and every one of them, it was like a free throw. There was no one on him on all 5 of his threes. He literally shot them with no defense in front of him. What are they? They have a guy on him, like Craig, whoever. They stick a guy on him, a Grant, doesn't matter who it is. And then somehow every single time the ball moves around a little bit, like, go, you know, kick it over to the right wing, go down to the corner, whatever, right? And then the minute they move it once or twice, he's left all alone to shoot. And the guy's, like, shooting threes like they're layups. I mean, I do not understand. On what earth do you not glue to him with, like, gorilla glue? I am all over this guy. Like, I'm, like, super glue. I wouldn't let that guy even put his pants on. If I were coaching, I'd be like, someone's going to maul him, or I will put in every single guy on the bench until they've used every single foul. I wouldn't let that guy shoot. I'd poke his eyes out.
Two things with Denver. They're not a great defensive team. They're really not a great defensive team when they have to scramble. If the Clippers are moving the ball, they'll just get open looks. Denver does not scramble well, you know, behind the play. But the other part of that is they're really not a good know-your-personnel defense. If you watch the really good defenses, like the two playing right now, or watch the Lakers tomorrow night, they will, when they get scrambling, they're still pretty good. They stay in position. They close out to the three-point line until Russell Westbrook gets it. And then they go, oh, wait, no, that's Russell. Know your personnel. You've got to know who you're going against and who you've got to stop. And by the way, Kawhi, like you said, the two finals MVPs might be a hint that you want to stick with this guy in big moments. The Clippers could use a little more depth or a little more punch from the guys around him. He and Paul George had numbers today, but they're going to need somebody else to give them a little more scoring.
Let me ask you this question. If you're Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets lose tomorrow night and it's over, do you fire Maury and D'Antoni? Because Maury's saying his priority is to re-sign D'Antoni as coach. But if, I mean, they have literally been like stinky dog doo-doo in this series. They look so dead to me and so lifeless. I don't care about that late run. That's because the Lakers quit playing. Respectfully, I got 90 seconds.
Yeah. I'll be really quick. Yeah, look, I'd be surprised if D'Antoni's back either way. There have been rumors about Maury not really working with Fertitta, like them not being on the same page since before China, before the Hong Kong tweet. This stuff was kind of bubbling around the league, like that might not really work. So I would not be surprised to see him clean house. The problem is whoever you bring in, I don't know how you move Westbrook. I don't know what you do with that. You don't want to move Harden. Harden's fine. You traded Chris Paul and two number ones to get Russell Westbrook, an inferior player, if I'm going to put in my 2 cents. But you made yourself worse, and I don't know how you build this team another way right now. You're all in on the small ball, so maybe you try to keep D'Antoni, because who else is going to coach that style?
Yeah, I think House is going to have problems too with his blunder, bringing a chick into the room, into the bubble. They've sent him home now.
You know, he's gone from the bubble.
Well, he's gone from the bubble. He might be gone from
the
team.
From the bubble. He might be. And it, look, I'm not going to tell stories out of school. Let's just say
I got to run. Kurt, I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, Kurt. I got to go. I love you. Enjoy the rest of the game, and I'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much. Sorry to cut you off. All right, so Tampa gave up a goal. It was Brock Nelson scored with 3 minutes left. And so now there's an empty net, and there's a minute left, and the Islanders clear it. They've got to win this game, A, because I bet on them, and B, because if they lose, they'll go down 3-0, and it'll be over. If they win, they're down 2-1, and then it's a series if they can, you know, turn around and win on Sunday, right? So in my opinion, this is huge. Tomorrow, you got Vegas down 2-1 playing Dallas. So Vegas can't afford to lose that game tomorrow. If you ask me, then they go down 3-1, right? I mean, this is serious stuff now. This is no joke. You want to go to the finals? You got to win. So the Islanders played tonight. I think they're living dangerously. You know what I mean? They blew leads tonight, 1-0. 3-1, they were up, and then they give up two goals. It's 3-3. Now they score, make it 4-3. Brock Nelson. I mean, they blew every lead they had. They blew the lead last night, right? They were up 1-0 in that game. And It's just unbelievable. And then I think if I remember correctly, right, wasn't it? It was 1-1 after. What was the final score of that game, Mavi? Do you remember when Kucherov scored? Was it 3-2 or I think it was. I think they won 3-2.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Like, I'm just going to go back to the game, right? I think it was Wednesday night. No, it was 2-1. It was 1-1 after one, and Hedman had the late goal, and then they played the rest of the game, 1-1. It was incredible. They were going to overtime, but with 8 seconds left, Kucherov scored. So they were up 1-0 in that game, blew that lead. So tonight you're up 1-0, then 3-1, and you blow that lead. I mean, my God, they just – it's like they don't want to win. Now they're still
3-2. The Vegas-Dallas game was one that was 3-2. It was 1-1. Then bang, bang, they both scored to make it 2-2, and then Dallas got the 3-2. That's where we're thinking of 3-2.
The way they've blown leads in this game, are you going to be surprised at all if they give up a goal here in the last 45 seconds?
I am. You know, they're all packed in their zone, 40 seconds. They just got to get it out. I think they can do this. This is their game where they just got to play defense.
I just, it's unbelievable to me how they've blown it. And I'll tell you another reason. Killorn, Point don't play in this game tonight, and you still can't beat them. Get rid of those guys. And I'll tell you another thing. I thought Johnson's goal was a high stick. So it is what it is. You cannot watch that goal and tell me that that stick wasn't above his teeth. It was up by his nose, his stick. I mean, come on. It can't be over the crossbar. That's it. Boom. That's the rule. But these refs, they just, it's like they're looking at something else when they look at the review. I don't know what they're looking at, porno or something. There it is. They clear it. Now they're going to get the empty net. Are you going to break away and stuff it in? And a penalty and a fight breaks out. Pajot gets into a fight and he's going to throw a haymaker and a layer high, knee to the head, knee to the groin, knee to the head, knee to the groin, haymaker, and with a high gouge. Knock him in the, now everybody's fighting. Haymaker, knee to the head, hair pull, eye gouge. Knock him in the teeth, kick him in the head, out with your friend, drink beer, motherfucker, drink beer. Well, if you can drink life on round can, what you got a beer in your hand, drink beer. Everybody's knowing, well, you got to, this. Oh, here we go, we got some more. Look at Clutterbuck getting involved. He's going to throw some haymakers, gloves off. Smelly got Pajot thrown out of the game. Doesn't matter. The Islanders are going to win. They're up 5-3 on the empty netter from Pajot. Sergachev is playing dirty. Sergachev chased down Pajot, hacked at him, got the penalty for hooking, then slashed him in the leg. He deserved to get his ass beat. Haymaker. Well done with a headbutt. Eye gouge. Good evening, Southern California. 844-843-6879 is the number to call in. There's the slash right there on his ankle. Sergachev with the absolute, or it was Kucherov that did it. Kucherov was the guy that slashed Pajot. Kucherov, did you see it, Mavi? He slashed at his ankle. Like, I mean.
You want to know how I feel about you? Boo on you.
That came out.
Yeah, he completely was hacking at him. It wasn't even just like, oh, he was just trying to keep him from scoring, because there was a little hook, little tug to keep him from scoring, and there was just smack, like, okay, if you're going to score, I'm going to try to hurt you. It looked like the Mighty Ducks movies where they smack Banks' wrist so that he, you know, can't play in the game anymore. Like, that looked like what he was trying to do. It looked like he was trying to smash him in the wrist to make him pay for the goal.
The game-winning goal was Nelson, and it was from the right circle, and he went stick side, top shelf, opposite side, and burned Vasilevsky with a beautiful goal. It was almost like that snapshot by Radulov last night for the Stars, the winner in overtime, a wrister from the right circle over the stick side, far side, off the post and in. So that was a huge goal by Nelson. And then Pajot, the empty netter, this game's over. So... they're up 5-3 with 35 seconds left. It's over. And there's got to be, I don't know if they're going to iron it all out and give them all the same penalties here with the fights that broke out after the goal, but this game's over. So the Islanders are going to make it 2-1, and that's that. So Although maybe I do want to watch the last 35 seconds because maybe another brawl is going to break out. Here it is. Another brawl breaks out right now. Good call by Pharrell. Matt Martin going to go at it. Here we go against Goudreau. Here you go. Goudreau lands a right, but Martin now pummeling him with haymakers and knocks him down on his ass on the ice and smashes his face into the ice. You don't mess with Matty Martin. He beat Goudreau's ass. He means business. Take a look. Go ahead. I'll see you in game four, you sissy. He's talking to him, leaving the ice, too. Called him a sissy. Goudreau got his ass beat. Go call your mommy. Go call your mommy on your cell phone and tell her you love her, you sissy ass. They used way more abusive language than me, though, when they were actually talking. I just wanted to say that. But they dropped the gloves right off the face-off. How funny is that? Look at Goudreau thinks he's going to take on Matt Martin, and he got just absolutely impaled with shots to the head. He went down like a bag of ice at the summer keg party.
So what? You hurt my feelings, and now I'm going home, all right?
Well, then go home, Goudreau. Go home, then. Go put on your sunblock. Lay at the beach. It's Clearwater Beach, son.
And lighten up, Francis.
The clock will tick down, and we'll see if we get one more brawl here before the game's over. There's a cheap shot behind the Islander net. Now some sticks to the groin area. And the game will end, and now fights will break out. Cheap shot over by the Islander bench. Cheap shot behind the goal. Refs can't control it. There's a lot of fighting going on right now. I'm enjoying every minute of it. And the Islanders will celebrate with Varlamov, and they'll go drink beer.
You just made the list, buddy.
Unbelievable. Big win for the Islanders tonight, and they also won the dirty fight scrums. Bevilier, the number one star, and Varlamov, the number three star. Varlamov. Anyway, back to the basketball game now. I'm losing weight. Game seven, Celtics and Raptors, and it's a five-point Boston lead with 6:11 left, and it looks like Ananobi got hurt crashing into the basket support padding. He was hammered. So 6 minutes left, halfway through the third, and a five-point Celtic lead. I'm sure they'll blow that lead. Toronto will be up by nine in about 5 minutes. It's a series of streaks and runs. Unbelievable. Who do you think is going to win the game off? Do you think Boston or Toronto?
I'm rolling with the Celts. I think they got their legs underneath them right now. I know everyone's tired, but you got Brown and Tatum leading the way. They're doing their things, both with 17 apiece. And the way that Lowry's struggling, and they need him. Him and Siakam, both of them. Siakam's got eight, Lowry's got six. Those guys not scoring in double digits by midway through the third quarter, it's going to be really hard to win a game.
Yeah, there you go. And
Kyle Lowry, 2 of 10 from the floor.
So I saw a lot of people in the church tonight saying, here's one of them, the Islanders are getting swept. So much for that plan. And I bet on the Islanders tonight. I hit the Stars last night, hit the Islanders tonight. I'm on fire! Anyway, there you go. So I'm trying to look through here in the church to see what's going on. You know what's great is tomorrow is college football all day, right? And then you got the Lakers game. You got the Vegas and Dallas hockey game. You got, that's the only NBA game, Lakers-Rockets. And then you got a bunch of baseball. I already told you the Padres-Giants has been postponed tonight, tomorrow. That's done. Giant player. Somebody has COVID on the Giants. So that's a problem. And then I can give you an update on baseball tonight. I just want you to know, because literally I was on a roll, a bagel, a wheat thin, a croissant, a wafer hitting games today. I'm on the Royals. They're up 4-1 on the Pirates in the eighth. The Braves and Nationals are 7-0 in the 12th. Bottom of the 12th, Nationals up. Runners on the corners, one out. I bet on the Nats in that game. The A's I took. They're up 9-4 on the Rangers in the eighth. That's going to hit. I took the White Sox over the Tigers. Bottom eight. White Sox up 4-3. I got the Sox. Cubs Brewers. I actually took the Brewers scoreless in the ninth. Twins lead the Indians, so it looks like Bieber's going to lose in the seventh. It's 2-0 Twins. It's not over yet, though. Game two, I took the Marlins. Game one, I took the Phillies. So in game two, the Marlins are up in the sixth, 4-2. And in game one, the Phillies won 11-0. So I'm going to hit both ends of that, it looks like. I have the Rockies. They're up 3-2 on the Angels. Boom. Bottom seven. I have the D-backs over the Mariners. Bottom four, 4-1 D-backs. I hit the Yankees in both games of the doubleheader. I took them 6-0 game one with Cole going the distance. And then I took them in the nightcap, 10-1 they won over the Orioles. So I hit both ends of that, both ends of the Phillies Marlins. And then I have the Rays. They won 11-1. I hit them. And then I got the Mets wrong. I took the Jays, so there's one game wrong. I had the Cardinals. They lost. That's two games wrong. So I hit every game so far, every game. I literally have every game except those two. I'm on every game except two. And I hit the Islanders. And I hit the Nuggets. I mean, what don't I hit? PharrellOnTheBench.com. I mean, honestly, hide the money from your wife. Last night, Mafia, have you ever seen anything like it? I hit the Stars. I hit the Lakers -5 and to win. I hit the Chiefs to win and -9. I hit the Miami Canes to win and -14.5. What don't I hit? I mean, honestly. So when we come back, hopefully, I think, you know, at some point in the second hour, we'll talk Mafia's Bellator picks. And they fought tonight. And maybe he has information on that, how that went down. And then tomorrow, UFC Fight Night, plus another Bellator card tomorrow night, 246. We'll get into that. We'll get into all the college football games and pro football games in the second hour. It's Pharrell on the Bench. All right, so now Lowry with the and one. He'll go to the line. 3 minutes and 19 seconds left in the third, and it's going to be a tie game after he makes the free throw. So I can't really all I can do is watch and see the calls. I can't tell what the call is other than it's a foul, and he's at the line. I can't hear the show. I can't hear the broadcast with this show going on, so I'm just kind of watching it. And obviously, it's going to be this way till the end of the game. So I guess I'm better off not knowing how bad the calls are, because every time I watch a game and listen to them butcher these calls, these refs, my blood pressure goes through the roof and my language is abusive and unholy. And tomorrow I'm going to the church in the morning at 11 a.m. for the confirmation. Gunner is having his confirmation tomorrow, big event. And Delusional is his rep for the confirmation. Delusional, my friend. Delusional. His godfather is his rep. I don't know. You have like a, you know, you have someone that is your witness or that, you know, fronts you or whatever you want to call it. I don't know all the rules at the church. I don't know the rules. I just go for the bread and wine. Anyway, I go because my next door neighbor is my priest and he drinks a lot of booze at my house, smokes cigarettes. So it's important that I stay, you know, in terms of tuned in with the church and go to mass and everything once in a while, once in a blue moon. So the rest of this game is going to be high pressure. Right now, it's like, I mean, it's crazy. They're trading buckets. It's starting to smell like another overtime type game. Or it's going to come down to the last shot, the last possession, something like that. We got another hour to go on a bench.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.